Blog Talk Radio.
Holidays, and hope you had a safe and enjoyable Thanksgiving. Welcome back to the only show airing this morning on Blog Talk Radio that isn't about Jesus. Not that there's anything wrong with that. This is PC Live, therapy for the partisan soul, your 60-minute verbal adrenaline rush of politics, pop culture, pugilism, and the very best in poultry news from across the fruited plains. I'm Mark Rattledge, your political shrink, and according to Ron Paul supporters, far and wide, I'm the biggest douchebag on the internet. But even so, I'll be walking you through the good, the bad, and the ever-so-ugly of this week's best news stories. As I stated above, I have an open letter to Ron Paul to read, and then some email and comments that need addressing. Plus, we'll be doing the conservative medley, and I suspect there'll be a phone call or two about both. We've got a great America Hates Kids segment that you won't want to miss, so stay tuned for that. There's another new segment today called Reverend John Digs Into His Mailbag, and that's what we're calling it until we come up with a better name. All of that, plus the report, your phone calls, instant messages, and the brand spanking new chat room only this morning on PC Live. For those that want to call in and explain to me the difference between an isolationist and a non-interventionist, that number is 646-915-8862. Again, that number is 646-915-8862. You can also instant message me as soon as I turn it on. It's not on yet. At markkind1976. That's M-A-R-K-K-I-N-D 1976. And that's either Yahoo or AOL Instant Messenger. After the show, you can check out the wrap-up on pc-live.tv. That's the PC Live blog, pc-live.tv. This being election season, there are plenty of things to talk about. There's a lot of stories, a lot of candidates to cover, and as I peruse through the daily news, I find that there's bad apples in every bunch, let me just get to it. There are the Ron Paul supporters above everyone else, to me, need help. And I am your political shrink, so I'm here to help you. And so this letter is for you, not because I don't like you folks, but because I want Ron Paul to do better. And when I see his candidacy sometimes being torpedoed by the worst amongst you, I take it upon myself to do something about it. I'm not just going to sit here and complain. So, dear friends, hi, how are you? It's great that you're out there making viral videos and throwing tea parties to raise money for your man, Ron Paul. It is outstanding that you are so invested in the coming election and that you're willing to get behind a clear, dark horse candidate like Dr. Ron Paul. I applaud you, I really do, for your passionate support and undying struggle to give the vast American voting public a better choice than a giant douche or a turd sandwich. Hats off to you. I understand your enthusiasm for Ron Paul. I really do, and I think it's great. Truly. Much of what Ron Paul stands for is worth embracing, and he makes many salient points in the debates, despite being painted as a Kucinich-like lunatic. That's Dennis Kucinich, the former mayor of Cleveland, for those of you just tuning in for the first time and don't know politics. I agree with Ron Paul on issues such as the economy and our ever-sinking dollar, especially in the face of the rising euro. And just as an aside, I only cover this every other week, by the way. Certainly a vote for Ron Paul is a vote for restoring stability to the falling dollar. I agree with Ron Paul and his ideas about reducing government spending and the overall size of government. Surely a government that spends millions on a bridge to nowhere is one that is far out of control and apparently living on planet Money Tree. Now, I disagree with Ron Paul on his isolationist foreign policy. Hold your phone calls, I ain't done yet. And specifically, his assertion that Iran is not a direct threat to the United States, while they are the main financial and political support of the terrorist group Hezbollah. But that's okay. This is America, and we can be free to disagree. Again, hold your calls, I ain't done yet. Now, do you see what I just did there, friends? I stated simply that I disagreed with one of Ron Paul's positions and gave a reason for my disagreement. You notice the absence of shrill language and name-calling. You'll also notice that I didn't call him or anyone else a fascist, a communist, a fag, a Nazi, a racist, Britney Spears, or insane in the membrane. You'll notice that I didn't insinuate that Ron Paul hates children, like America, or the poor. I didn't even make a yo mama joke. That's called having a rational discussion. My dear friends, Ron Paul supporters, big and small, a political election is about convincing people to stand behind a certain point of view and electing someone who will represent that point of view in either Washington or any one of the other capitals of each state. Generally speaking, and maybe you all don't know this because while you may be true to the game, you are still new to the game, attacking the people you seek to lobby or are trying to convince is usually counterproductive. One might even say that insulting the people who you would want to vote with you is downright stupid. It's like being in court and telling the judge and jury to go suck a... Nah, you get the idea. This extends to those in the media as well who give folks like Ron Paul a platform to speak from and share his views. I am trying to help here, so let me give you a few examples of what not to say when you are trying to lobby people to your campaign or ideology. For example, you probably don't want to say, Medved is just another neocon like who Jew. Now, how is that helpful? Here's another good one. Giuliani is a wanker. Thought he was so tough standing there smug in front of a Fox-chosen crowd, clearly showing the ignorance of a half-bake who does not understand how to engage with someone on the topic area, totally misconstrue the statements by Paul, and behave like an overindulgent prick. Now, this refers to the exchange between Paul and Giuliani from the Fox debate back in May that was instrumental in getting Paul noticed. Well, Giuliani was patently pandering to the pro-national security crowd in the audience and misconstruing history in the process. Calling him a wanker doesn't really help convince people that Giuliani was dead wrong and Paul was right. By the way, that was against Giuliani, for those of you who keep calling me a Giuliani supporter. Apparently, the whole nation, another example, apparently the whole nation is behind him. He pulls forth. Anybody with a brain and a conscience is absolutely intoxicated by him. Americans are too stupid to choose him. Now those two kind of contradict each other, but okay. Rudy is a real pile of shit, spelled S-H-E-E-E-A-R-T-A-W-T. And my personal favorite, Ron Paul is so fucking on his shit that ain't nobody gonna fuck with him. That motherfucker is gangster. In a good way, you know, not urban slang. Okie dokie. There are plenty of you who write comments that are not as caustic and shrill as the ones above, but there are many worse comments that are peppered throughout the blogosphere. Ridiculing those who disagree with you are being condescending towards those who don't completely buy 100% of what Ron Paul says is not the way to promote this man to the presidency. In fact, this behavior is exactly what drove me and people like me with progressive leanings away from the Green Party. Simply put, we don't want to be seen standing next to a bunch of nutcases screaming on top of Mount Pompous. And let's face facts here. Ron Paul consistently polls last in all serious election polls from Zogby to Marist to Rasmussen. Stop the phone calls about the skewed polls, please. I ain't done yet. He's a deep third in New Hampshire, where he has the strongest chance of winning. Not a Mike Huckabee in Iowa chance, you know, a real one, but a chance of not coming in dead last. I would think that Ron Paul supporters would concentrate more on building up more support for a candidate that consistently polls third to last, rather than pronouncing him the winner when mathematically he really isn't even a contender. Because if you're fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, or 100th, it's all the same. After you, if you're not in third place, you're not anywhere in a presidential election. Duh. You don't have the luxury that Clinton supporters do. She's so far in the lead, or at least she was, that some of her supporters can afford to be complete assholes, like this fellow from the PC Live comment board. I piss on your face. You shit for brains. Who the fuck cares what you have to say? You're a fucking nobody. Vote for Hillary or lose your freedoms. Yeah, vote or die, America. Oh, sorry, I just threw that last part in there. When Ron Paul is leading in the national polls, you can act like the above child, but not before. My dear friends, you can have tea parties and one-day fundraisers until the cows come home, and all you'll accomplish is making Ron Paul a little wealthier than he was before. But you won't succeed necessarily in making him the GOP nominee. Money helps win an election, but it is not the last word. See Howard Dean circa 2004. No, I'm not going to make that sound. I realize you are all not neo-Nazi, 9/11 truthers, and secessionists, as Medved once wrote. But you are dangerously close to doing more damage than good when you are shrill and caustic as you have been. Learn from the Naderites instead of stampeding down the path of becoming them and thus permanently sinking Ron Paul's candidacy for good. Your friend in conversation, candor, and goodwill. Mark Rattledge, MSW, Political Shrink. And now to help me delve through some of your responses, here he is, the Reverend John. There.
I don't even know where to start.
Well, I want to say this about the comments that we got about this piece.
Well, guest 15 says bravo, so at least one person liked it.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I posted it in three places, and the difference in how I posted it, I think, made all the difference. I posted two paragraphs and a sentence and then a link on the bloggernews.net. And those people saw just the two paragraphs, stopped reading, had an embolism, and I got essays back on the difference between interventionism and isolationism. And then somebody was like, you need to redirect to the piece. So they finally figured out that, hey, wait a minute.
There's more.
Not the whole. Yes, there's more here, and they should be concerned with that. In any case, then the people that read the whole thing on pc-live.net.
.tv.
I'm sorry, .tv, you're right. Now, these people were a little bit more balanced. They actually addressed the whole thing, and though we've got some lovely comments here, they at least were able to ascertain mostly what it was about. They missed the point in a lot of ways, but this was more about the intention of the piece and not that one particular point. And then
right.
When I posted it on 411, I got actually that's where I got the most positive response. But be that as it may, the first, we started off good. The first four were all right. People got it. They understood why I was doing it. And they responded accordingly, and a lot of them were, well, I wish people wouldn't do this, and yes, you're right, they are going to wreck the campaign. And then there's Jason.
Yeah, you have to love it when people who, you know, hate something that you wrote, and oh my God, this is so offensive, then proceed to prove the point that you made with their idiotic comments.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the irony of this thing.
Yeah,
is...
and just for the record, because I know a lot of people seem to think that we're on the payroll for the Pajamas Media, because apparently every time someone says something bad about Ron Paul, there's a Pajamas Media link. I completely forgot the Pajamas Media link was there.
We haven't – I don't post on the Pajamas Media. I post on 411 Mania.
Yes.
And I'm – you know, so theoretically I'm on there, not a payroll.
But
I contribute to the blogger – to bloggernews.net, but not as much as I used to. And I'll occasionally post stuff in, like, odd places, but you know what one of those places is not?
Pajamas
Media.
As a matter of fact, when I set up the blog, I just thought of whatever conservative blogs I could think of. That's the only reason that's there. I've been there maybe once.
We actually did something on the Pajamas Media when the show first started. It was about George Bush's Death Star, and it was in the segment called Conspiracy or Quack.
Which, quite frankly, I think we need to have a conspiracy or quack segment based on Ron Paul supporters.
Actually, Tom suggested that if I want to continue to make the show popular and write articles that will bring people to the show, that I should continue to write about Ron Paul. But next time, since people were so upset by this piece, I should write one about, you know, Ron Paul's mother.
An open letter to Ron Paul's mom.
Yes. Dear Ron Paul's mama. But so you have this one guy who now I read an entire thing about how you shouldn't insult the people who you could convince, and I stand to be convinced. I'm convinced he's no longer an isolationist. I'm convinced he's an interventionist. You've convinced me that he's tomato, not tomato. But this guy, dear political shrink, I think you need to have a dosage of your medication adjusted. Be well, Jason. I'll give him credit. At least he didn't curse at me.
I like the guy because I had said that the some Ron Paul supporters are a few tacos short of a Happy Meal. I like the guy who said you were a few freedom short of a Big Mac.
Okay. Now this person. Now again, there really was no subterfuge here. The purpose of this piece was not necessarily to direct any traffic towards another candidate. I wasn't seeking to convince anybody except to behave. I want Ron Paul to do better. I really do. I supported Ron Paul after the first debate. I can't stand with him because of his non-interventionist foreign policy, but quite frankly, outside of that, I would love to see Ron Paul be a contender. I would love to see Ron Paul be a contender just to, you know, dispel conventional wisdom. That's why I liked Howard Dean, and I'm not a Democrat.
Yeah.
I thought Howard Dean was great. I didn't like anything he stood for, but he was such a non-establishment candidate that I wanted him to win.
Yeah.
The same thing with Ron Paul. So to this person who says, what I see you trying to do is dissuade votes from Ron Paul and direct them towards Huckabee, no thanks. Oh, blow me, guy. That's not what I was intending to do. And then we have people who are just as condescending as I can be. Excuse me, sir. I had no idea how uninformed I was. Perhaps if this so-called open letter to Ron Paul had come from a website not endorsing Mike Huckabee, I would take this a bit more seriously. Yeah, I had no idea this was going to happen. I don't even look at the buttons on our board half the time. I needed a good laugh. Thank you for enlightening me.
Would he have felt better if it was posted on a blog that was endorsing Tom Tancredo?
Right. I'll have to go reopen my Duncan Hunter for Life blog.
Yeah. How about a blog endorsing Mike Gravel? Would he have listened to us then?
So basically what this person is saying is, so because I'm endorsing Mike Huckabee, I'm not allowed to write about anything but Mike Huckabee.
Yes, you're not allowed to have an opinion about anyone else. You know, these are like those douchebags who think that unless you're an artist, you're not allowed to have an opinion about art. You can't say something sucks because you're not an artist, and you don't know the first thing about art. It's like, well, yeah, I know that this sucks.
There's a whole phrase about that.
I got into a three-year feud with a guy who worked at a coffee house over that.
I don't know much about art, but I know what I like. And I don't know much about politics, but I know I like Mike Huckabee. And I have opinions on other things. It's essentially what this person's saying to me is, and you go into a restaurant and somebody says, what would you like on the menu? I'm supposed to say Mike Huckabee.
Yes.
Would you like ham or bacon? Mike Huckabee, thank you. God. Yeah, so some people really, really thought that there was like a conspiracy going on the website as far as like why I did this. This person, actually, I think the correct form of address to judge is something on the order of "The jig is up, sir. A battalion of National Guards is here to take you into custody for endless crimes knowingly committed against humanity and to shut down this kangaroo court." That's just a random thought, but relevant to the subject of action that falls in the domain of the executive branch.
I don't even know what those words mean.
I don't even understand what the hell he's writing there. But he was nice. He was a nice person.
Okay.
God.
I'll be at a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. I can't. Okay. Can anyone say condescending and then she spelt it wrong?
No, I remember that thing that. Because then a few posts later, after someone corrected it, they said, it's like, well, it doesn't matter that I spelt it wrong. You knew what I meant.
Right.
Yes, and she's an enrollee in the Ron Paul Education Program.
Okay, this is by far, and I'll stop reading these after this. This is by far my favorite comment out of any of them. I must say, I read a dandy article, enticingly condescending, smug, and with a hint of a nasty aftertaste I can't quite put my finger on. Almost as if a round piece of feces had been covered in white chocolate with those snazzy little sprinkles we all do enjoy. The first bite had us chewing, to be polite, I'm sure, but the second mouthful really put the experience over the top. Furthermore, my toaster just called you a jackass. Good day, sir.
Okay. And to this person, we award you 2 kudos.
Listen, I don't care if I get insulted. As somebody said to me earlier, you know, I really took a beating on this. I really took a beating on this article.
Well, yeah, you definitely took it up the ass, and not in a good way.
You know, but I again, bad publicity is good publicity. Okay, I have to say, to the people who, you know, we just went through some of the ridiculous ones. But especially on the Blogger News Network, because all there was the 2 paragraphs, and people didn't go to the link, and, you know, it took, like...
I'm sorry, that was timed badly.
It took, like, 5 comments before people started realizing, hey, wait, there's a whole other part of this. To the people who wrote on the Blogger News Network who only concentrated on the interventionist versus isolationist thing, let me talk about that for a few minutes. Okay, I'm wrong. I'm sorry, you're right. He's a non-interventionist in both foreign policy and economic policy. Kudos to you. You proved me wrong. However, I don't understand why this makes that much of a difference. Okay, so he's not an isolationist. He's willing to engage the rest of the world if we're being threatened. He's a non-interventionist, which means he's willing to let the rest of the world go to hell in a handbasket, and he's only going to deal with the train when it's in his face, is what you're telling me. You know, I'm saying he won't even get on the track to deal with the train that's headed right towards us. You're saying, oh, no, he'll stand on the track, and he'll stay right there waiting for the train to hit him. You know, that doesn't strike me as the, you know, when you're the commander-in-chief of the American military and the leader of the free world, that seems to say to me that you're standing behind the guy who's going to do nothing, 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 nothing. I'm ready to do something now. It's too late. The world moves in ways that only people who are aggressive and are interactive the whole time really make a difference. Sometimes if you wait too long, you've missed your opportunity to be effective. So I'm not entirely sure I understand why the people who make such a big deal about this think that it's good either way. Again, it's the difference between tomato and tomato. Did I lose you, John?
No, you were talking.
Okay, well, I stopped talking. There's a period at the end of that sentence.
Okay. Yes, I see.
Okay. What did you see any of these comments on the Blogger News Network?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you definitely covered the good ones. Mm-hmm. I love the people, the person. My favorite was probably the person who, when she was corrected by saying, no, you have to go to the link to read the full article, and she said, no, no one should read that.
Mm-hmm. There's a good one here from Mandy. She's laughing my ass off. This was just a lead into a total hit piece. Yes, it was a total hit piece.
Yep.
On who exactly? Because I certainly wasn't beating up on Ron Paul.
Whenever you say anything negative about anyone, it's a hit piece.
And you pointed out where you were completely factually incorrect in your reason for disagreement. We did not call you a fascist, blah, 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 blah. You'll notice that we didn't insinuate that you hate children before. We didn't even make your mom a joke. That's called having... You are the one being intellectually lazy and not willing to have a rational discussion.
That was called sarcasm.
What a waste of time. This is... Okay, this person who thought the whole thing was just the two paragraphs is what that was. And then my dad jumped in, and then this became... And then this stopped becoming about the piece and became more about the definition between isolationism and interventionism as far as somebody who deals in economics. So... I think, you know, if people want to call in and have a discussion about this, I'm willing to entertain them, and I'll try not to be condescending, but I mean, this is...
I won't.
But I think this is where we're at with this. I wrote this piece because I don't want you guys to misbehave. I want you to... Look, your guy is the one that's losing. And again, like I said before, if you're polling fourth, you might as well be polling dead last. This crap about, well, we only polls that way because the polls are skewed. Yes, I know. The polls work just fine in every other election up till now. Now there's a problem. And give me a break. But if you want to call in and tell me where I'm going wrong, you know, be my guest. The number is 646-915-8862. Well, you can call in at any point during the show, and we'll go back to the Ron Paul stuff if you want. But I know John had some stuff to talk about as far as what's going on in the world of politics this week besides Ron Paul and his crazy-ass supporters.
Well, we ran a little late, so I'm not sure if it's going to be much of a medley, but there was one major, major story that came up this week.
Well, yeah, especially if you're a wrestling fan.
That we need to discuss. I mean,
hit it.
I mean, actually, just, you know, on one hand, I know we usually talk a lot about the Republican candidates, and though I can't speak for you, even though I have a lot of conservative ideas, I don't take either party seriously. But it just so matters that, because I'm registered Republican, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama don't mean anything until the general election, which is why I tend to find the GOP primaries very entertaining. Because on one hand, you've got moderate Rudy Giuliani, and that's just the type of guy I am this week, Mitt Romney. When they're not arguing over who hates illegal immigrants more, or, you know, parading around their social conservative endorsements. And then you have the actual social conservative Mike Huckabee parading around his celebrity endorsements, which first it was Ted Nugent, then it was Chuck Norris.
Who had the funniest commercial ever with Chuck Norris.
Yes.
Two on Will I Secure the Border? Two words, Chuck Norris.
Which, okay, before we get to the major news story, like the huge news story that happened this week, if you give an example, people need to get a sense of humor, was the Fred Thompson campaign. After that ad came out, like, oh, well, you know, illegal immigration is serious business, and A, no, it's not.
No, it isn't serious business when we demand a fence gets put up. They put up literally the fence that, like, you know, Wacko has from Animaniacs when he says, you know, the guy says, I take umbrage to that. He was just like, that's fine, you can take umbrage, but what are we going to do, you know, but you know, you can't take ours. Okay, you had to see it, but he's basically got like a big fence in his hand.
It hasn't been...
That's what they put up.
Yeah, it hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been like serious business since, like, you know, the mid-80s. But also... They get to the point where we just have to be able to have a sense of humor and laugh. Anyone who thinks that Mike Huckabee doesn't take any issue seriously just because he makes a 10-second joke with Chuck Norris, you know, get a grip and get a sense of humor.
Well, no. The people – Fred Thompson has got nothing to stand on, and so he took the one little thing he could and – you know, and made an issue out of it because he can't actually make an issue out of anything else. And so, and to someone in the chat room, no, it should be taken seriously. But it's not being taken seriously when they don't put up a fence, they don't do anything with regard to border enforcement.
Yeah.
We don't do. I mean, we don't deport the criminals, let alone everybody else, which is a whole other topic. So it should be serious. It's just not taken seriously. And Mike Huckabee took 10 seconds and made, you know, and made a joke about it.
Yeah. And see,
you know, but that's the thing is that, you know, politics is marketing. And now, if I don't know anything else about Mike Huckabee, I'm going to remember that line.
Yeah.
That was funny.
And just, you know, also, it's not serious when Paco gets a crossover. The federal government lets Paco crossover from Mexico to Texas. Paco then goes through Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, the Virginias, Baltimore, makes it up to New York. And then when the government says, oh, by the way, now he's your problem, and if you don't deal with it, we're going to fine you.
Right. Okay, so what's the big news this week? Because we are at the halfway mark here.
Big news this week. Huge news. Biggest endorsement ever. This is bigger than Oprah endorsing Barack Obama. This weekend, Mike Huckabee, your friend and mine, and according to the Ron Paul supporters, the guy they were on the payroll for.
I wish.
Was endorsed. Woo! The Nature Boy Ric Flair. 17-time World Heavyweight Champion Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Styling, profiling Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Actually, not only endorsed Mike Huckabee, but did so as they were tailgating before a South Carolina college football game.
That's even better.
I mean, you can't get much more Southern redneck than that, but still.
So the four horsemen of Mike Huckabee.
Yes.
You've got Ted Nugent in the role played by Arn Anderson.
Chuck Norris.
Tully Blanchard.
Ric Flair.
As Ric Flair.
Basically the three coolest people in the world. I mean, it's not even that he's getting celebrity endorsements, because, you know, fine, you know, Adam Sandler's a Republican, and Dennis Mills a Republican, and Ron Silver's a Republican. He's getting the coolest ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by far.
I mean, it don't get much cooler than Uncle Ted.
No.
Chuck Norris has become a pop culture icon.
Yeah, I had no idea Walker Texas Ranger was so popular until I moved to the South.
Oh, they love their Walker Texas Ranger down south.
They really do, and they get very pissed when you don't understand what's so great about Walker Texas Ranger. I don't understand it myself, but hey.
Down in the dirt.
Anything else that Duncan needs covering before we get to the buck?
I think I'm ready for the buck.
All right. Your special Thanksgiving Day.
Rewind.
Yes. Here it is, the world famous.
What's the matter with you? You don't act like the other chickens do. You wear a disguise to look like human guys, but you're not a man, you're a chicken boo.
Kermit, I'll take a picture of this chicken.
Indeed you will, Gonzo, indeed you will.
This is yet another example of how worldpoultry.net takes a very funny story and strips it of its funniness from the original piece. This is like the cancer-curing eggs thing.
Well,
but
yeah,
we'll get to that in a second.
Because what it is that, you know, they take their poultry seriously. It's you know what the McGarrick Report is kind of like?
What is the McGarrick Report kind of like?
Iron Chef or Most Extreme Challenge. You know, this really doesn't work if you're not familiar with the show, so Google them and go to Wikipedia. But there are these game shows that if you watch it in Japan, they take very seriously. You know, this is serious business. But when it gets broadcast to America and Americans watch it, it's the unintentionally funniest thing you've ever seen.
I've never heard such a good lead into the Buck Report before in my life, so let's not mess it up by talking.
Okay.
WorldPoultry.net presents... Excellent.
That was my drunk bagak.
Dateline, November 21st, 2007. Bea fattens Thanksgiving turkeys.
Not just your Uncle Ted.
The owner of a 300-turkey farm in New Hampshire, the one place where Ron Paul stands a possible chance, USA, is using 50 to 60 cans. Jesus Christ, I didn't read that part. 50 to 60 cans of beer a day to fatten the birds before Thanksgiving and apparently give them liver damage.
Well, it actually makes the meat nice and tender.
I guess if it's 300 turkeys, they are going to go through a lot of beer. I mean, I suppose if I had 300 people, we'd be going through 50 to 60 cans of beer, you know, relatively quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not for one person. You're a rather large person, and I've, you know, fluctuated in size through the years, but 50 or 60 cans of beer just for one person, let alone one turkey?
Yeah, I suspect that there'd be a bit of alcohol poisoning there. But
you know, I'm picturing a turkey moving to Las Vegas to drink themselves to death.
Because I'm leaving Las Vegas.
What I'm really wondering, though, I'm wondering if the turkeys have, like, you know, taste in beer. Like, are they giving them good beer?
The kind of beer you drink says a lot about who you are. I mean, I kind of drink light beer, and if I hang around with my more, you know, rednecky type friends and I pull out a light beer and, you know, and they're drinking turpentine, they're like, hey, you fag, you know, man up a bit, drink a different beer.
Mark, if you drink light beer up here with your New York Yankee fans, we call you a fag.
This is also true. But that's just my point. You know, I like the light beer for a variety of reasons.
If you drink beer out of a can, you know, that's definitely white trash in it, which we do all the time because we just think it's funny.
Yeah, you're the Pabst Blue Ribbon guy of the North, aren't you?
Yes, I am the Pabst Blue Ribbon guy of the North.
Right. If you drink Guinness, obviously you like to drink real beer.
Yes, if you drink Guinness, you're obviously a man. Magic Hat number 9. I mean, there are different microbrews and everything where you drink for the taste, you don't drink for the drunk.
You know, and then you get into you're just not gay enough for the light beers crowd, where you have to get into your ciders.
Actually, ciders aren't gay.
They were gay when I was drinking them.
No, Zimas are gay. Smirnoff Ice is gay.
That's where I was headed after
the
ciders.
Yes, ciders definitely isn't gay. It's borderline, but it's definitely not gay.
Okay. But yeah, once you start getting into the musk-colored beers, or so they call them, yeah, then you're into homo territory.
And no kids 15, ciders are not gay.
We love gay culture. And listen, and if you're gay, you're tired of me ripping on you guys, please call in at 646-915-8862. We'd love to hear from you. We promise there'll be no hate speech here. Anywho, the turkeys, as well as other animals like beer, says Joe Moret, it slows them down a little.
It slows them down.
Okay. So they're not allowed to operate heavy machinery like normal? But they're enjoying life, says Moret, at least until Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, obviously.
They're enjoying life at least until Thanksgiving.
You know, I'm picturing the turkeys, you know, in the pen singing like Danny Boy and beer, beer, beer in the fields of Athenry. They're having a time of their life. You know, it can't get better than this. You know, they're with all their buddies, they're drinking beer, they're getting into fights. Next thing you know, whack, the neck comes off.
Really? But here's what kills me about this, though, is beer is a depressant. So isn't there going to be some turkeys that just, you know, and they realize what's going to happen to them, and now they're depressed about it?
Yeah. You know, they're going to go in the corner with, like, the hair over their eyes and, like, oh, I'm so sad.
You know, and they're going to be listening to Fall Out Boy and My Chemical Romance. What, did I not pick the right bands there?
No, you picked good bands.
Oh, okay. You know, they're going to be writing sad, sad poetry.
Yes. The Cure. I'm so sad.
So it looks like Old Man McGinty's fence won't get fixed today because the turkeys are still drunk.
Yes. You know, turkeys get drunk and then raid the chicken coop.
Raid!
And try cow tipping.
See, what I'm wondering is if a few of them get drunk and they take on the wrong chicken, does she get a lawyer and it just becomes the, you know, dupe rape case?
Probably.
There's video of this, and if I can find the actual embed to put back on the thing, I will, because, the video itself was gold. Now, the farmer really, if he gets himself a video camera, he could do Turkeys Gone Wild.
Show me your turkey breast. Show me your turkey breast.
Dude, I totally want that shirt now. Show me your breast. And it's like a picture of a well-cooked turkey.
Show me your bukkak.
Okay. And from the levity, we go to the depressing. Here it is, yet another installment of America hates. Whoops, wrong one. Stop.
Yeah.
Damn it, stop. Whoops. I've apparently had too much to drink this morning. America hates kids. America hates kids presents abuse risk seen worse as families change. In order for me to do this, I'm going to have to wipe the smile off my face.
This is serious.
This is serious. Stop thinking about drunk turkeys.
And quite frankly, quite sad.
Take a deep breath.
Happy thoughts. And go.
6-year-old Oscar Jimenez Jr. was beaten to death in California, then buried under fertilizer and cement. 2-year-old Devin Shackelford was drowned in an Arizona swimming pool. Jaden Kangro, also 2, died after being thrown across a room in Utah. In each case, as in many others every year, the alleged or convicted perpetrator had been the boyfriend of the child's mother. Men thrust into father-like roles which they tragically failed to embrace. Every case is different. Every family is different. Some single mothers bring men into their lives who lovingly help raise children when the biological father is gone for good.
Mark, we have a caller. Should I bring him on now?
Let me get through a little bit of this, and then when we need to take a momentary break, because that's just kind of sad.
Okay.
We can kind of have like a musical interlude and then bring him on.
Okay.
Nonetheless, many scholars and frontline caseworkers interviewed by the Associated Press see the abusive boyfriend syndrome as part of a broader trend that deeply worries them. They note an ever-increasing share of America's children grow up in homes without both biological parents, and they say the risk of child abuse is markedly higher in the non-traditional family structures. Okay. Now,
what kind of syndrome did you say?
Where did it go? Oh, abusive boyfriend.
Okay, so it's a disease that can be cured. It's not just an irresponsible parent.
I would say with their use of the word syndrome here is more of a behavior than it is an actual, you know, physical disease.
It's a psychological behavior that should be studied and understood, and it's not just a parent that should be Baker Act and have their kids taken away. If I'm not understanding what this article is trying to tell me.
I would say it's probably a little bit of both.
It's not their fault that they have no responsibility whatsoever and bring the new boyfriend over after only dating him for a week and a half. It's because they have abusive boyfriend syndrome and they can't control themselves.
I see where you're going with this. You're being sarcastic. Took me a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Reverend John. Have we met?
The existing data on child abuse in America is patchwork, making it difficult to track national trends with precision. The most recent federal survey on child maltreatment tallies nearly 900,000 abuse incidents reported to the state agencies in 2005, but it does not delve into how rates of child abuse correlate with parents' marital status or the makeup of the child's household. And I'll tell you, if there's ever a actual study where it shows directly that you assholes who break up your families or marry too soon or have kids out of wedlock or blah, 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 are increasing child abuse, who doggy is, what's it, the abortion place?
Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, Planned Parenthood's going to have a field day with that one. And speaking of field day, does somebody have their hand on the button?
Does someone have their hand in the bun? That, you know, that is an excellent question, and yes,
I'll do it myself.
I got it. Wait, I have it or you have it?
Fuck you, I'm doing it myself.
Okay.
Child abuse, Pete. What do you think?
Let's see. Irresponsible parents. You'll get the you don't know me syndrome, the you don't understand my situation, the I take care of my kids. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, you say you do, but, you know, you don't. Because, you know, the kid's five and still in a diaper, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
and the diaper's been there since he was three.
Yeah, not before that. They only realized, wait a second, this kid doesn't know how to do this himself until the kid was 3 years old. They got tired of cleaning up after him.
My problem isn't the parents who leave their kids in diapers until they're 16, 17. My problems are the ones that are committing armed robbery at 7.
The kids are committing armed robbery at 7?
Yes.
Well,
wow.
If the parents not around, how are they going to support themselves? They've already learned to change their own diapers at age 2.
Yeah.
As soon as they had motor skills.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you're not going to do it. Somebody's got to, because this ain't right.
I'm up to my elbows in poo here.
I can't feel it anymore.
No one has decision-making skills anymore. Of,
no.
Oh, God, I'm a parent. I must take care of my child. Not, yeah, you know, the kid's okay. I'm going to go to the club. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the decision-making. They don't have the decision-making skills, and then they also, you know, want to put the blame on everyone else except that because they have a syndrome.
Right.
It's not a syndrome. It's called being a dumbass.
Like I said, I don't know if the AP threw syndrome in there to sort of make a point. I don't, or there really is sort of an ulterior motive. Ron Paul for life. where, you know, they want to make it seem like this is a disease and not just poor decision making.
Okay. Anytime someone uses the word syndrome, they're making an excuse.
Okay.
It's not Andromeda syndrome.
Yes.
It is not cancer. It
yes.
is not AIDS. It is, you're an asshole.
Yeah. This woman, the reason why she invited her boyfriend to live with her after 3 months, who then proceeded to throw a 2-year-old across the room, she did that because she was suffering from whatever, Bacock syndrome.
I'm an asshole.
Lonely needs some cock.
Syndrome.
I need a cock-a-doodle-doo-itis.
Oh,
There's other findings out there. Children living in households with unrelated adults are nearly 50 times as likely to die of an inflicted injury as children living with two biological parents. Yes, that's because generally speaking, I mean, not in all cases, but generally speaking, the biological parent not going to beat the kid to death.
Yeah, and, you know, this isn't a knock on single parents, but this is also why they say you shouldn't bring your prospective boyfriend, girlfriend over until you've been dating for a year.
Well, not only that, but
you've got to
remember
people.
A couple of years ago when, you know, Murphy Brown decided to have a single, you know, be a single mom, and that was her choice, and, you know, Dan Quayle got upset about it, and rightly so, and
yeah,
people then made
fun
of Dan Quayle.
Murphy Brown is a fictional character.
Yeah.
Yes, but people were treating this like she was a hero to single moms far and wide without acknowledging the difficulties that go with being a single mom.
Can we also throw in that Murphy Brown was a fictional character on a show that the kids that Dan Quayle was worried about never watched?
Yes, we can. Can I make the actual point?
You have an actual point?
Yes, I do.
Continue.
And that is, most single moms don't have quite the income level of a sitting broadcast journalist. Many of them don't make a lot of money. It's incredibly difficult to raise children, especially in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not something, you know, you applaud it because of how difficult it is, but it's not something you should be choosing to do. It's not the best of situations.
Well, no, it's not the best of situations, but considering, if it happens and you get pregnant, when you consider the alternative, it's the right decision.
No, and you shouldn't be rushing guys into your home either. That's for certain. You know, and again, single men, the same thing. They make just as bad decisions. You know, there isn't a whole lot here as far as inviting a woman too soon into the home. But being a mandated reporter, frankly, I'm mortified that
we need to get an applause line when you say that. It's such a catchphrase.
Yes, just to throw some like random chants in there. As a mandated reporter, frankly, I'm mortified that you have these guys out there who marry, who get together with these chicks, these party girls.
Mm-hmm.
These party girls give them a baby or two, and then they decide they don't want to be a mom anymore. They want to go back to the party lifestyle, you know, hit the club and do the cocaine. So now, you know, these dads get stuck with these girls that they don't know how to raise, these boys they don't know how to raise, and they're off on the hunt to go find themselves a replacement mom. And the replacement mom is usually worse than the actual mom who left to go to do more cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Like a wicked stepmother?
And not even a wicked stepmother. It's just like they don't care. This isn't their kid. Or they end up just being a piss poor parent.
And they proceed to remind the kid of that every chance they get.
Right. I ain't your mama. Children living in step families or with single parents are at a higher risk of physical or sexual assault than children living with two biological or adoptive parents, according to several studies co-authored by David Finkelhor. I'm not making that name up. Director of the University of New Hampshire's
Trompel
has the best chance of coming in third, Crimes Against Children Research Center.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that name?
Nope. Girls whose parents divorce are a significantly higher risk of sexual assault, whether they live with their mother or father. Oh, that makes sense. My one piece of advice for this is if you're a single mom and you bring and you have daughters, and you bring a guy into the house, never leave that guy alone with your daughter, even if he's the most trustworthy man you've ever met in your life.
No.
Because somebody else is going to accuse him of sexually molesting them, and you want to be able to say to the child protective investigator, he's never alone with my child. I don't know when this would have happened.
Yes, and just as a side note, if you really need to be told that by a social worker, an administrative assistant, and an engineer, just give up the kid.
Yes, it's called termination of parental rights.
Yes,
embrace it like Christianity.
If you were taking your parental advice from the three of us, you should not be near children. If you see them at the mall, walk in the other direction.
Just remember, even for like guys that are falsely accused of, you know, molesting children, and they're proven they didn't do it, there's still that social stigma of, well, somebody had to have some reason to blame them. Obviously, they're still evil.
Yeah, rumor mill sometimes is worse than the actual event. All right, John is the main promoter of the show. We both do our efforts. He does a little bit more than I do.
Before we get into this, I have a very important question, because we've discussed a number of topics today that we haven't got Pete's opinion on. So, Pete, my one question for you is, what's for breakfast?
I'll let you know as soon as I make it. Lori has a cold, so I'm making breakfast this morning.
You making it for both of you or just you?
Oh, no, I got over it already. But
Are you making breakfast for yourself or for both of you?
For both of us.
Okay,
just wondering.
Excellent.
I'm a good husband.
No, Pete, we like to highlight that on PC Live.
I was going to probably, make a couple of eggs, some hash browns, some kielbasa.
And is really, Lori going to complain that the kielbasa is cooked too much or that the eggs are cooked too much or it's not quite the way she likes it?
No, she's more happy that I would actually do something in the kitchen.
Yes, her name's
really?
Lori. Her name's Lori, not Robin. Anyway, back to John Hates Kids.
And Robin.
She's sick. What's she going to do about it?
Okay, we've got 6 minutes of John hate. Let's hit it.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, basically, to help promote the show, I downloaded this MySpace Messenger, so you could, automatically message people advertisements of different things about your show. So basically, when we write something on the blog, I've been, putting a title, writing a little paragraph, and click here for more. And I was starting to have, good response. The Mike Huckabee people are very friendly. Had a good time with the Jim McCain people. The Ultimate Fighting people, surprisingly enough, are very cordial.
Just because we like to kick people's face off or watch people get their face punched in doesn't mean we have to be impolite.
Yeah. Then it came to this week. I had emailed a friend of mine because he's like a huge football person and I just want to make sure my fantasy team wins. And I had asked him a simple question if the New England Patriots are as good as they look. And he responded in the email. It was 10 paragraphs long. So I'm like, hey, can we post this? Because I'm sure people would like to read this. He said, fine. Post it on PC Live. Send an email out to people in the New England Patriots MySpace group. So you would assume these people are New England Patriots fans and would appreciate reading an article singing the praises of the New England Patriots. That's when I got this response, and I quote, who the fuck are you? Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a spammer. Never message me again, asshole.
Mind you, he's sending this to somebody who should appreciate some news on the New England Patriots.
Yes. Then you have the Giuliani people.
Oh, this is great. Mind you, we're also being accused of carrying Giuliani's water.
And while I have no problem carrying Rudy Giuliani's water, his supporters, on the other hand, there was an article about how the mayor, his honor, is drawing more younger voters than any other Republican candidates, which, you know, sounds like an article should be highlighted, except for Republicans, who where we only seem to draw people over the age of 45. So again, type the article out. I took people who recently posted comments on Rudy Giuliani's official MySpace page. I got 4 people back. Mind you, they were 4 responses from the young people who he's attracting, basically making a point to tell me, "Oh, see, now you're gonna make me block you now. I have to block you now. You're an idiot. I'm gonna block you." It's like.
So stay tuned next week for my open letter to Rudy Giuliani supporters, which isn't going to be nearly as long as the Ron Paul one, because he's also leading in most polls, so he can afford to have some idiots supporting him.
Dear Rudy Giuliani supporters,
dear douchebags,
stop talking. Hugs and kisses, Mark and Reverend John. No, people have become so paranoid when it comes to spam.
Yeah. You're trying to steal my identity.
Oh, my God, you email me and I don't know you. Then delete the email. I don't care if you read it or not.
What cracks me up about this is, you know, I read, I get a lot of email from people, and I get almost every day on MySpace. If it wasn't for the fact that I pretty much use it to promote the show and to communicate with a few of my friends who don't pick up their cell phone for some odd reason in Tampa,
that sounds like a story.
No, I have nothing bad to say about her beyond that. But I get spam on my MySpace page constantly, and it's always the same. It's the same hot chick, you know, and the same stupid story. Hey, I'm using my friends, blah, blah, blah. You're cute, and then go to my X-rated website. I'm not so sensitive that I see this and go, oh, my God, it's spam, non-interventionism, and then blow up.
Yeah, besides, you know, they're saying you were cute, and you all know that's a lie.
You know, basically, it's like whenever your regular email, you get caught in one of those chain letters where someone sends something to everyone on the list, and you always have that one person who has to make it a point to respond to everyone on the list and say, please stop emailing me this, which just makes it worse.
Hey, is there any good UFC news you want to talk about real quick?
Well, there's actually huge news.
Hit it.
Okay, let me pull up a page so I can read it.
All right, while he's pulling that up, I just have a small announcement.
Okay.
7:20 a.m. Friday morning, our friends Jason and Dornette had their first son.
Oh, congratulations.
Mazel tov.
Damien Aaron, and he is absolutely beautiful.
Your Jewish friend named his kid Damien?
Well, remember, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what
he said. Throw that out there.
What? He's a good kid.
I'm sure. Well, he's newborn. He hasn't had time to, you know, be bad just yet.
Well, we checked his skull. He's fine.
There are no sticks.
No horns.
It's all nines.
Excellent.
On a serious note, it's the first kid from our group of friends, so we're gonna spoil the hell out of this kid.
As you should. As you should.
Oh, what? You're 6 months old. You want a wee?
Hey, we're getting a caller who wants to talk to you about the UFC, which is now going to go into our fourth hour, as they would say on the Rush Limbaugh show.
Okay.
I'm going to hit his music. You're going to talk UFC, and after that, we're going to end. So, before we completely lose the air, tune in this Thursday at 10 p.m. for PC Live After Dark. Don't know what we'll be talking about yet, but there'll definitely be weird science. Plus, a week from today, we'll be back with another PC Live Morning Edition. What are we talking about next week, John?
30 days to Iowa, and I'm hoping to get our senior shirts and skins correspondent to talk about the Patriots and football in general.
All right. So, if you're going to tune out in the next 30 seconds or so, thank you for joining us on PC Live. Otherwise, here is Tom.
He, he's got new music. I like that music.
What's going on?
Good morning, Tom.
All right, we have four people on the show now. This is going to be rough.
Okay, so am I starting with the UFC news?
Yes, go, hit it.
Okay. Well, they had December 29th is supposed to be a welterweight title fight between Matt Serra and Matt Hughes, and this is supposed to be huge. They've been building for it all year. They based the Ultimate Fighter reality show around it, and unfortunately, Matt Serra had his has a herniated disc in his back, and is going to be out for an indefinite amount of time. So that fight's off, and this happened. This news broke on Thursday, and what it was that as it was, they put the entire division on hold because they wanted this fight to happen in December, and then the number one contender, the Canadian guy called Georges St. Pierre, they weren't going to have him fight at all until he got his title shot, which wasn't going to be until April. So this is going to push everything back. Only what they're doing instead, which they just announced late last night, there's now going to be a fight between Matt Hughes and Georges St. Pierre for the interim welterweight title on the December show. And once Matt Serra is healed, they're going to set up a fight to unify the titles. But now it's going to be Hughes St. Pierre 3 because the first time they fought, Hughes won in the first round. The second time they fought, GSP actually won the welterweight title from Hughes and then went on to lose it to Matt Serra.
And keep in mind, won decisively.
Oh, God.
It was a beating.
That was fun.
But now, have you seen, John? I don't think that anyone has confirmed yet that the fight is happening.
Well, yeah, it's on UFC.com.
Is it? I thought that the last news was that they've made the offer to the fighters, but I didn't know if it was confirmed yet, that the fighters agreed to it.
I hope it's confirmed because I based my article on that.
Because I like looking at Matt Hughes' site, and it didn't look like he had confirmed yet because I like reading his fans.
Okay.
Because they're equally as funny as Ron Paul fans. I mean, the term that's used on the internet sphere is called a nut hugger, and Matt Hughes has many. I just have to give you, I got to give you a great example.
The fight is confirmed.
It is confirmed.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And then they'll obviously be the undisputed title will be fought once Serra comes back.
Yeah.
That's disheartening.
Where is that great?
Because I read
something
Hughes'
else.
Blog, and he said some of the comments he had on it is just like, "Wow, you're a huge dick."
Yeah, like on his own website, he was like, "Well, before I fought Royce Gracie, I had three bulging discs that I had repaired enough that I was able to fight with."
Yeah,
you know, which anyone that knows Hughes knows that's just really like one of his typical like dick comments.
Yeah, which it's always good to see a good Christian role model, you know, kicking a man when he's down.
Yeah, speaking of,
I had malaria. I still fought.
Here's a great,
and my father should be calling in 10, 9, 8.
Here's a great comment from FarmBoy7652 from Matt Hughes' site. Matt, this is, by the way, most of these people talk on the board as if Matt Hughes actually reads it, which is actually, like, and they're going to respond. He's going to respond to them, which is equally as funny. Matt, this is just a way for Serra to stay the champ. While he's at home wishing you're going to take a fight with someone else, what do you have to gain by fighting anyone other than Serra? I'm sure the money for this pay-per-view is a nice chunk of change, but if you're injured or even worse, that puts you back to fighting three or four more times to get a title shot. Now this is the good part, which is what Serra is praying for. Oh, I forgot. He doesn't believe in God, all in caps. I would do either way.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so Serra not only is a loudmouth guinea from Long Island, he does not believe in God as well.
He's
an atheist.
Speaking of Hughes and Jesus,
yeah,
I know there's usually, you know, when someone, like, you know, thanks God after beating someone, you wonder, hey, wait a second, you just beat the crap out of someone. I don't have a problem with, like, with that. I know in, like, season two of The Ultimate Fighter, Rich Franklin, who's another, you know, devoutly Christian guy, went over to the house, and he was surprised to see people reading the Bibles, and he read the Bible with them, and which is fine. You know, people need an outlet. If they're going to be training for like a once in a lifetime opportunity, reading a Bible is better than, you know, drinking and putting your head through a wall like most of the other people do.
Yeah, but he did good.
Yeah, I generally don't have a problem with like Christianity getting combined with the fighting in general. But Matt Hughes this year, during one of his training sessions, handed out Bibles to his team, wanted them to read a story. And if that wasn't bad enough, he then wanted them to tell him who they thought he was in that story.
Okay.
And what was he? He was Queen something, right?
Yeah, he was the Queen because he always wants to help people.
Right.
So
we interrupt your regular broadcast to bring you this important news bulletin.
The other one that I want to just, you know...
I have a news bulletin! And then you guys can go back to talking about this. I've been wanting to say this now for a minute, though.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Remember what our next milestone was, John? For the show?
Oh, God. No.
Break 20 listeners. Leave that awkward silences?
Oh, no, that's a long-term goal.
Oh.
Our short-term goal was to break into 20 listeners. We had 23.
Oh, awesome. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Okay. That's okay. I was very happy about this. Please continue to talk about the UFC.
It only took a year.
I wanted to quote Sarah just to show you how legit his injury was. To quote him, "This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I've never had a back injury before. I could hardly get off the MRI table. There's no way I can train through this, and I'm devastated, especially because it was such an important fight. I was looking forward to fighting Matt Hughes."
Mm-hmm.
Now, my understanding, I finally found like what happened. Apparently, he was trying to force a triangle choke on somebody, and I guess he arched his back awkwardly, and that's when I guess he popped his disc.
Yeah, because I know he's training with Matt Arroyo and George from the show.
That's actually who he hurt himself. He was training with Matt Arroyo. That was
which
the story.
Leads me to think that George is making it to the finals, but that's that's hardly confirmed yet. But
I think it's amazing. I think it shows a lot that Dorian Price, I know, has come over to train at Huntington, Sarah.
Yeah.
And obviously, I guess that shows that Matt Arroyo was training with him, that he is a pretty good coach, and people want to work with him, even people from the opposition team.
Yeah, but that's actually the funny thing, was before all this happened in my 5 ounces of fury, I was already planning and writing about Hughes being a dick.
Because, well, there's a newsflash to the internet.
Yeah. No, because he posted on his blog about how he thought it showed lack of respect for his teammates and for the sport because Matt Hughes refused to corner against his own fighters.
Yeah, I know.
Which, okay, A, that shows leadership, I thought. B, it's kind of like the unwritten rule that Miletic Fighting System fighters, which Matt Hughes used to be, don't fight each other. And C, Jans Pulver, who's Matt Hughes' like friend, did the exact same thing last season where he didn't corner against either of his guys when they fought each other.
Yeah, I know. I guess I missed the part on his blog when he commented about his friend Pulver. Yeah, where he helped guest coach one of the episodes with him.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, that was different, though.
Yeah, because, you know, I guess Pulver believes in Jesus and doesn't believe in
anything. Right.
You know, isn't an atheist like us on Long Island.
The reason why Sarah didn't want to coach is because he doesn't believe in Jesus. He's a Satanist.
What a maroon.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Yeah, so that was the breaking UFC news.
Meh.
Okay.
So what have we established? We like Matt Serra.
I think Mark
is a dick yet again.
And that we're going to have to wait who knows how long, if ever, to see Serra hopefully smash Hughes.
I mean that's been unfortunate. That's the problem with back injuries, because sometimes you never heal. I mean, Nate Quarry was out for a year and a half with a back injury.
Yeah, it's not good.
Are we going to get like GSP saying... if let's say GSP beats Matt Hughes.
Oh, God, I hope.
And Matt Serra beats him again.
I think I would, if I had asked, I'd probably bet the house on St. Pierre for this fight.
Well, I just realized today, he moved to, like, New Mexico, so he's actually part of Greg Jackson Fighting, the Fighting Academy.
Hmm.
So he's training with Keith Jardine and Rashad Evans and Nate Marquardt and David Loazzo, so, and Greg Jackson, so he's going to be ready.
Yeah.
You don't think that Serra, well, I mean, even if he can just get one, if they can get one fight out of him, he'll train, you know, he'll try to heal as best he can and train for just one fight against Matt Hughes and be done with it. Let's have this fight
and risk permanent paralysis.
I would. That's my question.
Not with a back injury, no.
It's too serious. It's like a spinal injury.
Yeah.
Permanent paralysis.
No, I'm asking because sometimes, you know, especially up until very recently, you would, let's say, like in the WWE or whatever, they would ask a guy, you know, to try to work through an injury so that they can have this big match and, you know, and then give them time off. Obviously, this is real fighting and not pro wrestling.
Yeah,
but when
not to mention the UFC, they treat their fighters like people, not animals.
Okay, well, that's where I was going with that comment.
And Sarah has his own successful career. He's got two schools out on Long Island. I mean, there's no reason for him to be going to his schools in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
no, Vince McMahon isn't in everybody's ear going, "I'm going to pay you a crap load of money. I don't care if it hurts getting that ring."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Sarah's not going to fight unless he's 100%, and which is a shame because while I would, you know, like to see him fight Hughes, I just can't bring myself to root for Hughes in the fight against St. Pierre.
No.
Well, it's
and I think, unfortunately, I think Sarah could beat Hughes. I don't think he could beat the new Diesel St. Pierre that we saw against Koscheck, who was just like...
That was insane.
I don't even know how he was in that weight division. It looked like he was a heavyweight.
Well, no, because apparently he cuts down like 20 pounds like 2 days before the weigh-ins.
Sticks his finger
he
down his throat.
Like a freak.
What?
How did he go 20 pounds? Sir, you have to be exaggerating.
No. Nope. Oh, no, I mean, they've done it. I mean, people have cut like, you know, the wrong way on the show, like 20 pounds in a day, so it is possible. And I mean, and
how?
if you're I don't know. I'm obviously not disciplined enough to do that, but if you're disciplined and trained.
Yeah, it's when you do jump ropes, like, in a sauna.
Yeah.
For an hour.
In a rubber suit.
Right, exactly. Taped down, duct taped down.
Wait a minute. If I go spend the next hour doing jump ropes in a sauna in a rubber suit, I can drop 20 pounds?
And not eat and drink for the entire day.
Yeah. And not drink anything.
Oh, geez, I don't know if I can do it without alcohol, but...
Yeah. Because even in Hughes' one fight against Chris Liddell, he barely beat him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think St. Pierre is on a different level than Chris Liddell.
Yeah.
And I personally wasn't one of the people that thought... I thought Sarah beat Liddell decisively. I thought all Liddell did was try to avoid losing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard to beat up on somebody that all he's concerned with is defense and no offense. All I do is try to block every takedown of yours and not do anything, not hit you, and just block my face. It's pretty hard to hit you or take you down.
Which is basically what it did against Hughes.
Yeah. So he... And that guy's feet must have been hurting after fighting Sarah with all the foot stomps. He, you know, he did what he could. He did.
Yeah.
He took what was available. I thought he won. But I just hope that we don't have to wait 2 years for Sarah to come back. Hopefully he'll come back sooner.
Yeah. The only thing beneficial to Hughes beating St. Pierre was that I wouldn't mind seeing St. Pierre in the middleweight division because Lord knows they need help.
Yeah.
And, you know, an Anderson Silva GSP fight would be nice.
Oh.
Yeah, now, but if GSP loses, is he going to start off by saying, oh, no, I just was not prepared and I thought I was ready for the fight, but I was not.
No,
he fought me. He was good. And 6 months later, no, I was sick.
Yeah. He'll do it a month later on Canadian radio.
Right, yes. I had the flu the day before.
I had the flu. I was not ready.
Yeah, I sprained my toe on the mat. You know, bullshit. You know,
I dislocated my pinky toe.
Yeah, I don't know why he doesn't take a shot at you know, bumping up his weight for it.
I mean, because I remember there was
he's already cutting 20 pounds. You know,
yeah.
He's gonna cut 10 instead of 20.
Because he was in what's his face is he was in Patrick Cote's corner when he fought Scott Smith at the beginning of the year, and you see the picture of St. Pierre standing next to Smith and Cote while they were doing the standoff. And he towered over both of them and looked bigger. Because I think he normally carries himself like a light heavyweight, like 190 pounds. And
so,
just, you know, cuts 20 to fight at the welterweight, which seems silly, but...
So
now is there any word on who Brock Lesnar is going to be fighting once he's finally ready to have his first fight?
Yeah, Frank Mir.
Yeah,
Mark.
Champion.
We did this 2 weeks ago.
Pay attention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean...
I meant after that fight.
Yeah, no,
well, no, he has to win that fight first.
Oh, no, I figured they'd you know, kind of like Rocky, they'd just line guys up for him.
No.
Okay.
They have to see, A, if he could actually fight, and B, how he does first.
What, there's no guy in the corner calling him a wrecking machine?
I'm sure there might be.
I mean, there's so much less competition at Anderson Silva's level that if St. Pierre could beat him, he could run as a champion forever.
Yeah,
compared to the welterweights, which is so stacked right now, there's so many guys ready for a title shot that he's gonna have a lot of hard fights.
Yeah, because I mean, once you get past the December card, there's rumors of John Fitch versus Carol Parisian at I think March.
Yeah, that's gonna
which would more or less be, I mean, depending on what Metzera's injury wise would be the next contender.
Yeah, I think Carol at this point has probably earned a shot already.
Yeah,
Fitch, I think he definitely deserves a shot.
I mean,
the guy lost his shot because he got sick, or he got injured, I think.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be in line for a title shot last like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, which actually, GSP, I think, took the shot, wound up getting the title shot.
Right.
His first fight.
All because of a freaking injury. That sucks.
Yes. But with the middleweight division, I mean, basically, unless Dan Henderson beats Anderson Silva and they have the Anderson Silva-Dan Henderson rematch, there's no one left.
There is no one. There's no one that's shown anything close to Silva.
I mean, the only thing I could think of is giving him Paulo Filho, who's the middleweight champion from World Extreme Cage Fighting, just because, A, Zuffer owns them too, and B, since he's already dominated everyone, you might as well build him as a dominant middleweight and just, you know, have him come down to the octagon with both belts in hand.
And does the UFC draft people when they're down fighters in a certain division? Lead FC or Bulldog Fighting or something like that?
They may talk them into cutting. I know there's actually talk of Michael Bisping dropping down to middleweight after his loss last week.
Yeah, that was a great fight.
I sense sarcasm.
Yeah, I mean, just more that bullshit lay and pray fucking technique of Rashad Evans, who did nothing.
Yeah.
And that was the exact same fight, you know, Bisping fought the last fight. You know, a guy that put you on the ground and then can't do anything.
And the thing with Bisping, he lost his last one. His other three fights, he barely won.
Yeah.
I mean, he almost got stopped in the first two, and the third one, he should have lost to the deaf kid.
It was close, but I would have called it a draw, or maybe, I don't know. I could see, I didn't think it was as controversial as it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
The deaf kid looked so gassed, like, after, like, 4 minutes into the first round.
Okay, that's true.
But I think just showing that, I mean, Bisping probably should drop down. He's clearly not strong enough to avoid takedowns, people at that weight class.
Yeah.
And he has incredible ground skills. He gets up every time, but maybe if he's in a lower weight class, he never gets taken down in the first place.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's got good hands.
Yeah, I actually think what made it, like, the main thing that made it controversial was the way he reacted afterwards. Like, he just completely dominated his opponent and won a title.
Yeah, well, he was kind of he did come out and apologize after.
Yeah.
Which was a smart move, because people were, like, flaming him. The internet was aflame with him that day.
I'm watching him celebrating. I'm like, are you kidding? I understand being happy if you won, but it was a split decision and you were lucky.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't just beat Drago.
Yeah.
And by Drago, I mean Dolph Lundgren, not Pete Sell.
Yeah, he won a split decision in his home country.
He is like a piece of steel.
Tom, what are we talking about on Thursday?
I don't know.
Anything?
I don't have anything on my mind.
Show.
Well, I do want to throw this at you. Lori did some internet research, and she found an article. The first two seasons of Sesame Street were released on DVD and were rated not for children.
Oh, no, I heard about this, because it's like different voices than the kids are used to, and they might be traumatized by it.
No, they introduce us to the first addict, which was the Cookie Monster.
Oh, for the love of God.
Bert and Ernie.
Are you serious? I need information
together
on this. Can you provide me a link
for
this?
The first few seasons, Snuffleupagus was a figment of Big Bird's imagination.
Which is an allusion to hallucinogenics.
And the ratings board was like, we can't let our children watch this. It's Sesame Street.
Okay, a show of hands, even though none of us can see each other right now. Who amongst us grew up on Sesame Street?
You can't see it right now, my hand raised.
Now, to the best of my knowledge, we've turned out okay without having, you know, hallucinating about big brown things.
I mean, I occasionally eat a cheeseburger while taking a crap, but I mean, so besides that, yeah, I turned out okay.
And you know, most of the people like us who grew up watching Sesame Street...
Well, you can't forget about Morgan Freeman on The Electric Company.
Morgan Freeman was on The Electric Company?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Was he like a main character?
Yeah, he was.
And,
wow, it's been a long time.
You may have remembered him as the black guy.
Yeah.
Mark, you racist fuck.
And Lawrence Frischman was on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
I never watched Pee Wee's Playhouse. I never liked Pee Wee Herman.
And the reason why Lawrence Fishburne got a job in the John Singleton movie for Higher Learning was because John Singleton was actually the security guard. And they would talk to each other all the time. And Singleton was like, hey, I'm going to make a movie. And Fishburne was like, yeah, great. Call me when you get it done. Mm-hmm. And he called him.
Nice.
Yeah, I got it done. Want a job? Oh, God, yes.
It's like, is it another children's show? No? Oh, great.
Awesome. No, we're going to put you in the hood with boys.
Then you're going to say peppermint? Would you like a peppermint? That's a stupid line. What are you doing there? Plotting?
What are you talking about?
You guys haven't seen this movie in a while, have you?
Which movie?
Higher Learning.
Oh. I don't remember that line from it. I remember the scene where Jennifer Connelly and the blonde chick are making out with each other.
Chuck and I used to make fun of Higher Learning all the time. And every line that we made fun of was either a Lawrence Fishburne line or a Mike Rappaport at the end. I just wanted to be an engineer. You know, or Busta Rhymes going, it's all about this black fish.
Okay, that line I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm thinking in the future, we should actually have a better plan for the Thursday show on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'd be a really good way to promote Thursday's show, as opposed to just awkward silence as we realize that we have nothing in mind.
Well, okay, right now, the only people that are going to hear this are the ones that download the show if they get this far. We are now a good 20 minutes over time.
Yes, folks, you are now going behind the scenes into the PC Live production meetings.
It's like, oh, God, we're not ready. Show's in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you'll have to look very hard in the DVD to find this stuff.
It's an Easter egg. You know, back, up, two, play.
up, down, down, left, right, right.
Behind the scenes of PC Live. Do you know what we're going to talk about? I don't want to talk about anything. Can't we just play music? Hell yeah, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
So we've got Sesame Street on the line. That's good. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That should bring them in.
Yeah.
As the main bit?
Cut down the Weird Science intro.
I promise to cut the Weird Science intro this week.
I thought we were going to make it longer.
If I can find the whole Weird Science song, sure.
How about
Weird Science Technical Remix?
How about as bonus coverage, we just play the entire movie?
Here it is, oh, Ted. Like that, you know he's an asshole.
That'd be fun. That could be the bonus
hour
and a half.
My grandparents, see, they're fine, they're happy.
Oh, that's quality stuff. Maybe this will just do the whole show on Weird Science. The movie.
What? An in shape, well aged Kelly LeBrock? We could think of worse things.
Yeah.
True.
I guess we better find the Kelly LeBrock MySpace page and send out a bulletin to make sure that they actually want to listen and don't hate us.
I'm open letter to Kelly LeBrock supporters.
Hi, how are you? I'm fine. Thanks for asking. So listen, she needs to lose some weight. Remember how hot she used to be?
Yeah, you think we could, I don't know. See, I feel a little rude asking, but, yeah, we're going to need you to step it down a bit. Just step it down a bit. Here's a fake finger so you don't have to use yours.
I really hope somebody actually, people download and listen to the whole show, because this is gold.
Yeah, this is comedy gold.
That actually wouldn't be a bad marketing tool, so selling like plastic fingers to anorexics.
You know, are you tired of those yellowy, discolored fingertips?
Are you tired of using your own finger?
Are you tired of getting your acid juice on your hand?
Do you lack the physical energy to actually get your finger down your throat anymore?
Well, now you don't have to, thanks to the creation of the Fingermatic 3000.
Just lean forward.
Invention.
You can lean forward, can't you?
By the way, John, speaking of projectile diseases, I've now used the projectile leprosy line at least a dozen times. Gets laughed every single time.
I try and use it at least once a week.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine said she didn't want to go into work yesterday. I said, call in and tell him you have projectile leprosy.
I'm thinking we need to have a fundraiser for the Projectile Leprosy Foundation.
I think I need to write an open letter to them. An open letter to projectile leprosy sufferers.
Hi, how are you? I'm fine. Thanks for asking. So listen, what's with the leprosy? Do you see what I did there?
Hey, speaking of things you can only find, 25 minutes after the show goes off the air. Quick story here, since I have you all. Robin's been instant messaging me on Google, and I guess she went through my MySpace friends and she saw one of the people there, and she said, don't tell me you don't go out with that person because there's a mutual friend of ours.
Which person?
Oh, is somebody going to get their bunny rabbit boiled?
Well, actually, wait a second. When she says mutual friend, she's not thinking it's one of the three of us, is it?
No.
Okay.
we haven't gone into that level of insanity yet. But,
yes.
Put it in me.
So I said to that person, I said, you know, do you know Robin? And I told her her last name. And she said, no, it doesn't sound familiar. And I said, well, she seems to know you. And I directed her to her MySpace page. Apparently, the new guy that Robin is starting to talk to
mm-hmm.
is also an acquaintance of Lisa. I think she hired him to paint her fence. That's how they know each other. And
you want us to whitewash your fence, ma'am? This show is fun.
In any case, I got an instant message while I was offline from that person who says, so this guy thinks your ex is a little crazy, extremely talkative, and kind of annoying. I asked him if he told her anything about me that would provoke her to send IMs to someone telling them not to date me. He told me that she mentioned to him that this person's name knows my ex-hubby.
Oh, wow.
January cannot get here soon enough.
Yeah, we're gonna have to save this for PC Live with the studio audience.
I'll get the canned laughter going.
Yeah, I mean, just on the off chance someone's actually listening to this right now, I don't want to have anything recorded.
Yeah, but at least not until after January.
It's all going in the memo.
So, Mark, when are you coming up to New York so we can do our, you know, for our private listener show?
Yes, the PC Live Unplugged show is sometime between December 23rd and December 30th.
Provided we can find landlines.
What was that?
Provided we can find landlines, right?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I guess that's where I come in, because I have two landlines.
Nice. Party at Pete's house.
I mean, I can call from my grandfather's house or my aunt's house, and if I do that, then I'll have a landline, two, I'll have a computer I can use.
Yeah, because I mean, we only have one phone in my house and like six different cell phones.
Okay. So, what are we talking about on Thursday, now that we're half an hour over?
And in an echo chamber, apparently.
Oh, Jesus. Now, you know, I think that's my phone trying to tell me maybe I should recharge. So, hey, Tom and Pete, besides the Sesame Street and Weird Science, let's try to work on something, shall we?
Yeah,
I can
good.
See by the setting of the sun it is time.
All right. Well, a half an hour late, but we're finally here. Thank you for joining us on PC Live.
God bless us, everyone.